Television in the 60s, late 50s, certainly interesting. There was one particular TV show that became very popular called Candid Camera. Alan Funt was a part of producing it. And what he would do, he would put people in different situations who would hide a camera. And then, of course, people kind of would react to those different situations. One time he put a hidden camera inside a high school and in a job guidance counselor's office. And, of course, here was a young man who would have been in his either junior, maybe even a senior in high school. And, of course, at that time they take those vocational testing to find out what their aptitude, what they're supposed to be. And here you have an individual in a very city type of setting coming in, and he's sitting there before the counselor, and the counselor takes out the papers and he says, "We have the results of your test here." And you could see him straightening up his back a little bit. He said, "Yes." And, you know, here the young man, I'm sure, is kind of thinking, you know, he's going to be told that he might be a doctor or maybe a lawyer or the business profession. And he said, "I have this results of your vocational aptitude." And he says, "And it says here definitely that you should be a shepherd." Well, the face on the young man would just, "A shepherd? A shepherd?" He said, "Yes, a shepherd." And he would go on to kind of emphasize the fact that this was his aptitude. What came home immediately is, first of all, he had no idea about what a shepherd was, what a shepherd did, anything that he has in terms of relationship to that particular type of occupation. And certainly it was divorced from any of our modern mentality. I say that because here we're dealing on this Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Easter, with Good Shepherd Sunday. And if it's true for the young man, it's true for us. That concept of the shepherd that we use to see the Lord that we use so often. In fact, I'm told as I go around to various aspects and places in our diocese, "Thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you for being our shepherd." No. Do we know what that shepherd does? Do we know why Christ would have used that model and embraced it for himself? And believe me when I tell you, there are good shepherds and there are bad shepherds. There are individuals who are shepherds who take their position as a hireling, as a job. There are those that take a look and approach the aspect of that position as something which is paid, but never allowing them to extend themselves in that position. And then there is the good shepherd. And what does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd identifies with the flock. That's why we hear that so familiar phrase, "As the good shepherd, I will lay down my life for the flock." Identifies with the flock. When we take a look at the good shepherd, we have to take a look at it as if it's someone who embraces the aspect or the position of either being a father or a mother. You would never imagine a mother or a father to be in a paid position. I think sometimes our mothers and fathers would like to be in paid positions. But you would never imagine that, to be in a paid position. Why? Their whole life is involved with the relationship that they have. Their whole life is involved in the children that are under their care. There's no amount of money that can come in to actually pay them or give them remuneration for what they're doing. No. It's their life which is involved. And the good shepherd, when we are talking about Jesus, his whole life is involved with the flock. And there's that one really interesting phrase that it says, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. Hear my voice. I hope everyone here hears the voice of God in their lives. I hope they and I mean hear the voice of God. We certainly can take a look at the history of those saints, and we can see how God literally called them. St. Augustine, when he is grappling with his faith back and forth, all of a sudden he hears this voice, tole lege, tole lege, take and read, take and read. He doesn't know who's calling out, then identifies the fact that it literally is the Spirit of God calling him to pick up the scriptures and to read. This being the Easter season, I reflect especially on the fact of Mary Magdalene, the first person to encounter Jesus as the resurrected one. She doesn't recognize him immediately. When does she acknowledge his presence? When he says to her, Mary. Now, it must have been in such a manner as a term of endearment. It must have been said in such a way that immediately Mary recognized that this was the Lord speaking to her directly. And it opened up her eyes. It must have been something which evoked the love that he had for her and that she had for him. And that's not so strange. We immediately associate that with some family members, with those people we have a close relationship with. They will use a particular, they will pronounce our names in a particular way or extend to us a particular type of gesture, and we immediately know that what it's capturing is that relationship, that sense of intimacy. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. I know them. And they know me. That type of recognition is a type of intimacy that involves us in what we are committed to do in this world, to follow, literally, Jesus. Because we know in following Jesus, he leads us to the fullness of life. And then, of course, there's that wonderful phrase at the end of this statement from John. The Father and I are one. I hope when the deacon pronounced that gospel that you understood the culmination of that. The Father and I are one. Jesus is kind of telling us through John's gospel, don't look for another. Don't waste your time, spend your time looking for someone that can lead you to God. This is the one. This is the Son of God. This is the one who drives and directs us in our lives. This is the one who leads us to the divine, because he himself is a divine. And that Father and I are one spills over to us. Because once we accept Jesus, once we accept his divinity, once we accept the fact that he is the full revelation of the Father, then we begin to understand why Jesus calls us to recognize literally God, the Imago Dei, in each and every one of us. Why we are all called to recognize our brothers and sisters. Why we are all called in the intimacy of that relationship to serve him by loving others. Because love is the basis of all relationships. True relationships reflect love. And true love is always reflective of the divine. It's that which we celebrate. Now we know in a particular way that over this last week, we've experienced violence, and we know how suddenly our whole society can be torn asunder. How those who can seek to destroy life and do it by means of terrorism to frighten all of us can cause us to be immobilized, can freeze us. But there's one individual who takes that and thaws that aspect, and that is the love of Christ. Even in the midst of the difficulty and violence, the love of God is still pronounced. The love of God in the statement that Jesus himself gives, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. That's why it's so important for us to embrace the relationship with the Lord. This life that we experience now will end. But his life is a life that we embrace forever because it's based in love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.